morning we are entering again into Ephesians. We are on that walk, the walk, that middle part of the whole exposition that Paul gives to us of Ephesians. We have been seeing, first of all, the position we have in Christ, and we spent the first three chapters talking about that. Chapters 4, 5, and the beginning of chapter 6 are about the walk that we walk. Not that we earn God's favor at all. We can't earn it. He makes that crystal clear to us. It's by grace that we're saved, through faith, and it's not of our own works. And so our walk is not a merit. It is a response to what Jesus has done. And so he's gone through all of these walks. Walk worthy of the calling and your gifts. Walk as a new man. Walk in love. Walk in life. Walk in wisdom. Walk in the Spirit. And walk in the family. We are involved in that passage of walking in the family. First of all, husbands and wives. And then children and fathers. And this morning we are looking at slaves and masters. How many slaves are here this morning? Some of you think it's not about husbands and wives again. No, no. You got the wrong idea. We don't have slaves today, and we don't have masters as they did in Rome, but we have some of the same context, and it's important for us to understand this. Now, I need you to understand that as I came in, we had put this very expensive clock up there to run 70 minutes to keep the service at 70 minutes. I want everybody to turn and look at that right now. I am not out of time. Somebody forgot to set that this morning, so I'm looking at the clock, and we will be out of here in good time. But I want you to know that I've got 33 slides in this PowerPoint presentation. That's probably a record. So we're going to move rapidly through some of it toward the end, but the first part of the service, I want to talk about this passage and then a practical application of it. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. We're talking about servants and masters. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. As we look at the passage this morning, I want us to focus on the fact that we don't have slaves, and that Paul is talking about issues here that go beyond slavery, and it is certainly not about employer-employee relationships. As I began to work on this passage, I thought, well, it's got to be a message about employers and employees, and that would really be a dry sermon, wouldn't it? We talked about medical care and health care and strikes and all the rest, but I don't think that's what Paul's getting at here. There is a stronger teaching that he is aiming at when he speaks of slaves and masters. He's talking about servant leadership. He's talking about people having a servant's heart. He's in that whole context in this, of speaking about the Spirit's fullness. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he talks about the response of that fullness, that we speak to one another, we sing to one another, we make melody in our heart, we give thanks to God, and we submit to one another. All of those are verbs in the continual tense. So he's saying, I want you to be doing all of these things all the time, speaking to one another, singing to one another, humming to one another, giving thanks to one another, to God, for one another, and then submitting to one another. It's that submitting issue that Paul is driving at here. That slaves and masters, or leaders and followers, are to both have the attitude of servants. I think it can help us if we look at the mirror passage, which is found in Colossians chapter 3. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says almost the identical thing. He wrote a lot of letters, and in that he just remembered what he said, and he wrote it again, and the Holy Spirit emphasizing the church that this is twofold, that God wants us to understand. He embellishes it a little bit more, helps us to make it a little clearer. In Colossians, it's the same context. He's talking about husbands and wives. He's talking about being filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 17, he says, Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when the eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. That is important for us to understand. He expands a little bit so that we understand he is not talking about just slaves and masters. He talks about the whole concept of whatever you are doing, whether it's in the secular realm or in the spiritual realm, whether it's in the family or in the church, it ought to be done as to the Lord. In my own personal outline, I kind of embellished on that and expanded it a little bit, that he says, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Do it wholeheartedly. And do it for the reward that he gives you. And so this morning, I want us to think about the servant leadership that God has given in the church, that we all should be servants, even if we are leaders. Whether we are slaves or followers, or whether we are leaders and masters, God has the same standard, that we should have a humble heart and serve the Lord, not men. The illustration for this is given by Jesus himself. In John chapter 13, verse 14, Jesus is doing an illustration. He is at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he gets down from where he's at, and he takes his outer garment off, and he wraps himself with a slave towel. And then he goes around to each one of the disciples, and he takes a basin of water and washes their feet. Now, there was a reason why Jesus did that. And I thank you for that response. Because that's exactly the response that Peter gave to the Lord Jesus. No, you're not going to wash my feet. You're my master. But Jesus went through that whole process to show us something, not just tell us something. He got down off of his high horse. He got down on his knees with a worker's towel, with a washcloth, and with water, and he washed their feet. Now, their feet were exposed because they had sandals. They lived in a dusty area, but they had toe jam just the same. And I'm sure Jesus probably knelt down and came to one guy's feet that's really probably worse than all the rest, and it smelled bad. I remember doing this in a church where I was pastoring, in one of our New Year's Eve services, we had a foot washing. And one of the guys in the church had big feet. Stinky feet. I had never seen his feet before. But I voluntarily chose him that I would wash his feet, then he would turn to somebody else and wash their feet. And he took off his shoes. I'll tell you, there was a waft of air. Kind of makes you step back and go, whoa. I'm glad we don't do this in church every Sunday. But you know, there was something that happened in me as I washed his feet. I was saying to him, we are servants of the Lord, submitting to one another. I am the pastor. You are a layman. You are a Sunday school teacher. You have other responsibilities in the church. But when it comes to Christ, we are on the same level. We have different functions and different offices and different callings. But the meaning of that calling is the same. That we should submit to one another and wash one another's feet. I want to challenge you this morning about foot washing, not the literal foot washing, but about the spiritual foot washing of serving as servants, whether you are a master or a leader, or whether you are a servant and a follower. God calls us to do that with humility of mind and humbleness of spirit. And I want us to do this in a way that will take some time to go through. And I want to hold on this slide for a moment as I talk about some issues that I see in the church today. Jesus said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Paul is saying the same thing. We ought to have a foot-washing mentality. That Jesus gave an example, and he says, you will be blessed if you follow my example. Paul is speaking to slaves and to masters, and he's putting them on the same level in a culture where they were not on the same level. And he says, masters, you need to serve the Lord as you rule over your slaves. And slaves, you need to serve your master as you're serving the Lord. It is a God consciousness in whatever you're doing. But you do not serve men. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul began this passage with that whole concept of walk worthy of the calling and the gifts that you have in Christ. And now he concludes this walking passage with the same thing, that we should walk worthy of the gift that we are given. Every one of us who is a born-again believer have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Not just one gift. My examination of this over the years has showed me that everyone has at least three gifts, and many have multiple gifts. And those gifts are to be serving one another. It doesn't matter whether you have a speaking gift or a public gift or an acting gift or a dishwashing gift. Paul says, do it as unto the Lord and not as unto men. It's a principle that we find throughout Scripture. And yet in Christianity today, as in Paul's day, there is a crisis over the issue of submission, over the issue of surrender, over the issue of submitting to one another. In Paul's day, it was the danger of the world system squeezing them into its mold. A Roman culture that had the discipline or the economy of slaves and masters, and the church falling into that and saying, then our church organization ought to reflect that. We ought to have leader dictators, and we ought to have the little gophers that do the work. And Paul is saying, no, that is a concept that comes from the world, and the world is squeezing you into its mold. That is not what Christ demonstrated. You see, God wants us to get out of the secularization of Christianity. We are not to be like the world around us. In our culture today, we don't have slaves and masters in America anymore. But we have a greater pressure to conform to our world. And the confirmation or the conformity to our world that is pressuring on us is what I call self-centered secularism. Let that sink in. Self-centered secularism. It is the Christian mentality that adopts the world's standards of me first and serve thee. It is the concept that squeezes the world, the church, into the world's mold of self-serving isolationism and non-involvement in the body of Christ, where we come to church to be served, but not to serve. My friends, that is a contradiction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave us the demonstration and the teaching, and the Apostle Paul giving us the teaching about serving and servanthood. We are not to be expected to be served. We are to serve. The crisis in the church today is that 10% of its people do 90% of the work. And the rest just go to church and get served. Now, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. I hope you have your steel-toed boots on, because I'm going to do some hard stepping because I love you. And I don't want to be harsh to be harsh, but I'm fanatic. I'm a fanatic about Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to serve him. I want to obey him, not my world. So I'm going to say some things that may seem harsh to you, but I want you to please temper that with the fact that Jesus said we are to be slaves to the Lord. We are to be servants of all. We are to be foot washers and not competing to be leaders for important people. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It was never intended that the church should gather together in one big worship service once a week, and the rest of the time, you're off the hook. There's nothing for you to do. Concept was, we gathered together as the body of Christ for the preaching of the word and for prayer and for praise and worship, and then we go out and serve. Don't go back and serve ourselves. Someone has likened the church today to going to a football stadium. There's 30,000 people in the stands desperately needing some exercise. And they're cheering 22 men on the field that desperately need some rest. We need to get the concept that the church is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not about watching. It is not about sitting and being served. It is about serving. And serving the Lord doesn't mean going home and serving your family and saying, that's how I serve the Lord. You better serve the Lord by taking care of your family. But that's in the context of your nucleus, your home. But in the body of Christ, God has given you gifts to operate in the body. He has given you servant gifts to use for the Lord. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus said, I am like a master that's going into a far country, and when he leaves, he gives authority to his servants, and to every man he gives his work. And to the doorkeeper, he says, be vigilant. It says to me, every man, woman, and child in the body of Christ has a work to do. I hope you believe that. You see, Christianity is not about climbing the success ladder. It is not about competing for lordship in the body of Christ. It is not about being the boss over somebody else or taking a leadership role that makes you important. It is about serving others and in so doing, serving the Lord Jesus Christ in humility of mind. The life in Christ is about serving. It's not about being served. I have a question for you today. If that is true, Jesus gave us the example. The apostles give us the teaching on it. And in what way are you serving in the body of Christ? Some of you have the gift of teaching. You have demonstrated that in times past. But today you have retired from that for some odd reason. And you have put it aside and you no longer teach or serve in the body of Christ. You simply take in. Why? Paul's emphasis here is that there's going to be a day of accountability for all of us, in which we will stand before the Lord, our judge, not for heaven or hell, but for that well done, good and faithful servant. Many of us, because we have retired from responsibility and delegated it or relegated it to other people, have no rewards, no crown in heaven to throw at the feet of Jesus. But we have never served. We've only been served. I want to challenge every one of you. I know some of you are college students. Let me speak to you for a moment. You're in college. Your world and your parents sometimes want you to adopt the world's mindset that this is a special time of 4 years in which you can do nothing else but study. With all due respect for all parents that are here, hogwash. You don't suspend Christianity while you're in school. Yes, it's a Christian school if you go to Grove City College. It is not a Christian school if you go to Sugar Rock University. But if you're a believer, you don't suspend your spiritual gifts and don't operate anymore. I remember when I was in college that was instilled in us with the preaching and teaching of the Word that all of us are called to ministry at all times and all places. And so in college, we were actively involved in ministry. All of my colleagues and friends that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ recognized this principle. We're servants. Jesus. So we did all kinds of ministry and all kinds of work for the Lord. Let me just mention a few that I did most of the time while I was in college. I was an unpaid volunteer. I was a church custodian, a nursery caregiver, a puppeteer, an illusionist, an illustrator of sermons, a snow shoveler, a lawn mower, a dishwasher, a street preacher, a tract distributor, a city mission preacher, a soup server, a cleaner of outside toilets, a door-to-door evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school superintendent, a youth chaperone, an artist, a painter, a quiz master, a camp athletic director, and a camp counselor, and many, many more things. As I reflected back, I thought, most of that was done in a college setting. And that's not bragging on me. I am the least of all the saints, and if God has called me to serve, I'll tell you, one of the most humbling things that I've ever experienced is coming into ministry and finally graduating. You get through college, go to seminary, you get your first church, you made it. You're now the boss, you're the master. We go to Mahaffey Camp, and our first assignment at Mahaffey Camp is pastors. Cleaning the 18-holer outside toilet. I'll tell you, there's nothing like that. You talk about washing feet being smelly. Washing those toilets is specifically disgusting. But you know, the attitude in Christ is, whatever you call me to do, Lord, I do it as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Now, let me bring some practical applications to this. Because I want you to know that I am proud of this church. I am not yelling at you. I am yelling at Christianity in general. But in this church, we have a wonderful response of servanthood in the body of Christ. By our nearest calculations, we have well over 300 people actively involved in serving in ministries. Isn't that incredible? 300 people. That means the size of the people in this auditorium here, which seats about 300, would be the staff of people that are involved in ministries throughout our congregation. I'm excited to tell you that this church is about ministry. This church is about serving the Lord. This church is about washing feet. This church is about being ready for the coming of the Lord and being found in Him. Not having our own righteousness, but His righteousness. Let me introduce some ministries to you, because for some of you, I believe that you're new and you have not had the opportunity to step up to the plate and serve the Lord. And so I want to use this as a springboard to talk about some of the opportunities for ministry that we have in this church. I'm really excited about this church. I love this church. And we sat down over the last couple of weeks and tried to identify all the ministries going on. And it's really beyond us. We can't do it. Matter of fact, as I prepared this message, I said, Lord, I got 33 slides. I could add another 33 just to talk about all the ministries. We can't touch on all of them, but some of them. Let me show you some of our servant leaders. We have those people called pastors in our congregation, or directors of ministry. And they are on staff, 2 part-time and 4 full-time. And they are the most hard-working people I have ever met. I am so thankful to be called pastor with these people. Let me talk just a little bit about Pastor Dave. You know what Pastor Dave is? He's the guy that stands behind this great big keyboard and plays. There is a man that has put in probably 80 hours this week, maybe more. Yesterday alone, from early in the day till late in the day, he was here with his whole worship team, gathered here on the platform, earphones and microphones, and they were cutting a CD all day long. And I look at that and I say, well, that's servanthood. And I look at the expression on Pastor Dave's face. And in between times when you'd have to run out and take a drink, there was no complaining. He wasn't sitting there and saying, I can't have it to do this. I can't. There was delight. And on every face of all of those servants of the Lord that were with him, they sacrificially gave their Saturday to the Lord.
And there were smiles on their faces, and they probably had raspiness in their voice, but they were doing it for a greater glory, and that's for the glory of God. I could say that about every one of our people on our pastoral staff. Let me introduce them if you don't know them. On the left, we have our newest addition, our part-time pastor, assistant pastor for the core, the ministry that's going to take place down in the gym. That's Bill Williamson. Bill comes to us as part of our congregation, serving first of all, and now being put into that servant leadership. Then we have Pastor Dave down below him. Up in the middle, you have that other guy. And then down below him, you have Pastor Paul, who is our youth pastor, doing a tremendous job with our youth. And if you get the opportunity this Saturday, you have the opportunity to go through our new wing, an open house, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 7. And he's got some things out there he wants to show you about youth ministry. And then we have Pastor Ed Dixon, part-time ministry for seniors, and he's been running our building program. And then we have Miss Kelly. We don't call her pastor, but she's Miss Kelly. She's just like a pastor, working full-time and doing a bang-up job with our children's ministry and all the things that have to be done. These are servant leaders. We are not dictators. We are not in this role to be over people. We are simply serving the Lord, and others come alongside to minister with us. Let me give you a feeling for some of the opportunities that we have in service to the Lord. Worship ministries is a huge ministry. I just highlighted, I took a picture of the guys yesterday doing some of that sound stuff. But I asked Pastor Dave and the other staff people to give me a listing of some of the things that they have as opportunities for ministry. There's the worship team that will stand up here and lead in worship. They spend many hours in rehearsal and practice and getting ready. We have those vocalists, and then we have the music team behind us. I have never played the drums. I don't know how to play the drums, but we have several people that do that and do that well. We have drummers and guitarists and keyboardists, and on it goes. We have the flautist, and we have the violin. All of these things are volunteer ministries where people are serving. It's the foot washing ministry. It's as to the Lord and not to men. We have the choir that's starting up for our fall season, and Dave has had about 40 to 45 people in that choir, and watching them rehearse it scares me to death. I used to be involved in a choir, but Dave's like this loving Nazi Gestapo guy. Running his choir and correcting them and urging them and encouraging them. And they love it. I think these guys are crazy. They're sadists. They go to that choir rehearsal to be told you're flat. But it's what they do for the Lord. And then when they do that in a ministry on a Sunday morning, it sounds great. And you are receiving the blessings of that because somebody else did some blood, sweat, and tears and some crying sometimes trying to get it right. We have the sound team, people that are over there in that little box over there. We have just renovated that sound so that we can pipe it downstairs for our gymnasium. There's a huge project that went on when nobody was looking by our servant ministers. You have men that alternate every week that are around sound. If you ever get a chance, don't touch it. Don't touch the soundboard. But get a look at it. Man. That thing is humongous, gigantic. You've got all these sounds. Those guys do a wonderful job. So if you ever hear the sound not working right, you pray for them because I don't know where to turn those knobs, but they know. And then we have the PowerPoint people this morning. It's Fred, and it alternates with other people. And what they're doing is they're pulling together all this PowerPoint stuff and putting those slides up there and keeping it running. And what you don't know in the background is sometimes that computer crashes, and in between different things happening in the service, they have to reboot it and get it going, and most of us don't notice. And then we have our video people with a camera. And we have Jake back there. We hide him way back in the back so nobody sees him. But he's serving the Lord, and I think it's Mark behind the camera today. I can't see. Yeah, it's Mark. And those guys are doing a fantastic job. Do you know we need volunteers in all these things? It's not like everything is equipped and all the people that are needed are flocking in. Pastor Dave will come into my office on Tuesdays for a staff meeting, and many times his shoulders hunch over, and he goes, "Oh, we just lost the guitar, and we don't have a bass person, and we don't have this, and we don't have that, and we got to pray." And certainly we pray, and God brings them in. So I'm telling you, if you have not found your niche in the church, there is a niche for you in music ministries, but hopefully you have some giftedness in that area.
I've instructed Pastor Dave to tell people if they don't have that gift in this, we've got lots of other ministries where they can serve. We've got prayer ministries that are going on. In our new construction, we have a room right off of here that's just dedicated to prayer. It's brand new, that we've never done it before, but we have one room in this building that's dedicated to prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I've already got my baseball bat out, kicking people out, saying, this is not a place to play. Get out of here. This is a place of prayer. And as soon as we have it decorated, it's going to be open for prayer anytime, day or night, where you can go and get alone with God. It's not so much for group prayer meetings, although some group prayer meetings will take place there for you to find a quiet place before the Lord. We have had for a number of years people who are praying behind the wall. You know what that means? This wall here. Behind here are a couple of little changing rooms for our baptistry. And those rooms are probably 4x4 in size. And we have people that willingly and voluntarily go back there during the service and pray for the service. I hope there's somebody back there right now praying for me. We want that to improve so that we have a constant flow of people praying behind the scenes in the service for all the ministries that are taking place. We have prayer retreats, teaching people to get alone with God, get quiet before Him, and listen. Our next one is coming October 12th and 13th, and watch for it in your news and your bulletin, because it's a vital part of the church, learning to pray and get alone with God. Let's move along to other things. We've got good things happening in small groups. We've been trying to develop small groups. It takes time to do that, and we have a lot of small groups that are developing for this fall. By small groups, we mean not a big congregation, but small classrooms or groups of people that meet in homes, or they may meet here at church, where they study the Word of God, they relate to one another, and pray for one another. We have a lot of that going on. And the Scripture says, woe to him that doesn't have somebody. If you're in this big church, and you don't have anybody that prays with you and watches with you and is concerned about you, then you need to get in a small group, because it's not going to happen here in the sanctuary. When our elders say, let's take some time to greet one another, and you get up and greet somebody, that's not fellowship. That's a greeting. You need a small group in which you can relate to other people, get to know their names, and be praying for them, and they for you. Let me share some of those things. And I have to really rapidly. And we're going to be putting out a brochure, and I have one here in all my stuff. We're going to be putting out a full brochure of all the small groups and the Sunday school classes for adults that we have. And it's phenomenal. I spent most of the week working on this, just trying to glean what's going on in this big congregation. And we've got Bible studies and small groups taking place all over the place. And in just a week or so, we're going to be starting some new subjects in our Sunday school. We have a college class that meets at 11:15 with the Allisons and Eric Barty leading that. It's the Life of David. We have a discipleship plan that's been going on for now 6 months, 8 months. And that is for new people that are coming to Christ, and older Christians that need to review some of the basics of the faith are in a class. And it goes through three different segments using Navigator 2-7 type ministry. We have Pam Prentice is teaching a class on worship, and most of us don't know that because she's targeted just the worship team. And she's done it already on Thursday night. She's doing it right now. I think right now it's 9:30. We've got Cheryl Lilly is going to be teaching Battlefield of the Mind, and we've got the Mackinaws that are teaching Praying Through the Psalms. So these are some of the things that are going on. If you're not involved, you need to get involved. Some of you, as I said, if you teach and you have stopped teaching for some reason, God needs to put a piece of dynamite under you. This church is growing rapidly. There's no way just a few people can manage to have small groups for everyone. Some of you college students, you ought to be having small groups with college students. Not just in the church, but there at school and flipping around the university and in other schools, getting involved in the life of ministry. Next slide, please. Then we have some weeknight studies that are going on, and I won't go through all of these, but one, we ran the advertisement just before the service, the Financial Peace University, and there's going to be a showing of a little trailer of that back in the first hallway all the way to the end of the hall, right after this service and after the second service. All of these things are exciting things that are happening. Move along. We've got more things than we can shake a stick at. We've got hospitality going on. And that is, we have a plan, it's in your bulletin, for hosting college students in your home with a home-cooked meal. Doesn't that look good? Oh, that looks very, very good. And the the Hooblers are sponsoring this and trying to manage it all. But we've got opportunities for you to reach out to people and get to know them. I've appreciated the times we've done it, where we've gotten to know many college students through the process of having them into our home. You can have 2 or you can have 25 or whatever your house can hold. But it's a wonderful ministry and it's ongoing. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. It's not every week that you're doing it, but you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not yourself. And then we have a place for children. Our ministry is about children. We begin, our whole ministry here has begun with children. And we said we build them all the way up. And we've seen that. Children that began in our little toddlers are now coming into our youth program and growing up. And we have a wonderful youth program. Pastor Kelly, Director Kelly, is doing a great job with children. There are some things that I do not have a gift for. I remember being a nursery caregiver when Marilyn and I were in college, and we took care of the nursery at church from time to time. I'd say I enjoy playing with kids, but I do not enjoy changing diapers. I'm a servant's heart, but now I'm a grandfather's heart. I'll leave that for somebody else. But we have a nursery that's huge, and in our new facility, it's even going to be better. But there's opportunities to serve in the nursery at all times. We have small groups going on. We're needing volunteers to go help out in the nursery so other people can study the Word of God. Moving along to the next slide. We have our Sunday school program, our children's church program, our Awana Club program, our VBS program. Our VBS program this year had over 166 workers in it. Not kids, that's the workers that are helping out. I say, praise the Lord. I love working in a church like this. We've got people working all around us. Sunday school, there are needs. We need more greeters in the Sunday school hour. Right now, the carries are doing that. They greet people as they come in. We have a lot of visitors coming in the Sunday school hour. They take them to the classroom. But we're finding out while they're taking them to the classroom, nobody's there to greet the next group of people. So we need other volunteers to be greeters in both the Sunday school and the children's church time. We've got our Awana program, which I think we have over 100 volunteers to help out with that. We need more. Because God has challenged us, and I've challenged Miss Kelly, that in 3 years from the time she started, God is going to triple our children's ministry. It's already doubled, and now it's going to triple. And it's happening. We need volunteers. We need people that will roll up their sleeves and get involved in children's ministry. And then there's another ministry that's being talked about in the church, and I hear it by the back door, and that's Bible quizzing. Bible quizzing. If you've ever been involved in that, and a few people are, it's time to roll up your sleeves and get involved in that. Then we've got, next slide please, we've got youth ministries. Pastor Paul's doing a tremendous job with youth. Over 75 youth gathering together and worshiping the Lord. They have a new worship center downstairs. They have all this electronic equipment and everything else going on there. And Pastor Paul says, I need some help. I need youth leaders. I need men and women that can disciple young people and lead a small group. He'll train you how. He'll show you how. And he needs those kind of people stepping up because every year there's changeover. He needs college students helping out with some of the activities in the youth program. They have a lot of outings and they need people to chaperone. He calls them crowd managers. That's an ominous task. But it's a ministry that you can get involved in that if you're not involved, there's something for you to do. And then we have ministries that are out of sight. Those ministries are things that are being done that we don't really speak of very often. You know, we have a prison ministry that's ongoing. There's many people involved in the prison ministry. Women and men. Women going to women in prison. Men going to the men in prison. We have a nursing home ministry. Did you know that? I was here a couple years before I knew that. It goes on behind the scenes. We got people that volunteer to do that. And I just heard the other day, Rich, that you preach in the nursing home ministry. Stand up for a minute. So he's going to preach for me sometime, right? No. But he's not a preacher. But he helps out with that nursing home ministry, and they do a lot of the music. And there are times when he has to lead and guide in that way. But it's a good, challenging ministry. I started out in high school working in some of those nursing home ministries. They are strange. Then we have a new ministry that's called Helping Hands, and our deacons and elders are working on this, and that is a crew of men that are called upon to help somebody because the roof is leaking on an elderly citizen or somebody else. Now, we don't want to advertise that too far and near because this isn't just free help, but it's a ministry to people, and I think it was yesterday they spent most of the day putting a roof on somebody's house that desperately needed it. It's wonderful. And then there's the prison, the city mission that's going on at Newcastle. Our elders are putting together a ministry for going down to the city mission. We have people in our church, unbeknownst to us, that every Saturday go down to the Newcastle City Mission and serve tables. Talk about washing feet. There's a wonderful ministry to get involved with. There's no credit. Nobody knows your name. But there you are, serving the Lord. Next slide, please. We have ushers. It's not just picking up the offering, but ushers to help people find seats and keep this thing orderly as we have so many crowds coming through. And greeters. We are looking for couples to be greeters. Not just the greeters at the door, but greeters within the congregation that will walk around and just make people feel at home and feel like this is their place. I would love to see people that are not involved in ministry who are nice people. We don't want any unnice people doing that. So if you're nice people, would you stand up right now? Just stand up. I want to see how many nice people. Stand up with your nice people. And you got to stand up with your spouse, too, because it doesn't work just alone. All right, you can sit down. You're nice people. Why not volunteer to do this? And that means you come in early to a service, you walk around and greet people, and maybe take some pictures of people so that we can be praying for them. It's a way of networking in this very big family. And then part of our construction project that is not finished is the old library is going to be converted into a resource center for CDs and tapes and sermons and books. And often I mention things in sermons and people say, where can I get that? We have to send them out to some bookstores. Interesting thing happened a few months ago. I mentioned a book in my sermon, and then I got a call from a bookstore and said, what in the world is going on? They just bought out of all of this book. And then I called several other bookstores, and they said, I don't know, people from the Alliance Church are buying these books all up. So we realized we need a ministry of books and resources and making those available to you. I don't know how to run a bookstore. I don't know how to set it up. I'm not going to run that. You're going to run that. We're just going to let it sit there until we get some volunteers that say, hey, I used to run a store. I know how to set up a store. And we'll get you trained and we'll get you motivated in that direction. There are lots of things to get involved in. Moving along, we've got softball that doesn't get an honorary mention even in our church. That goes on behind the scenes. This year we had four teams playing softball. And then they went to the finals and they got first place. And then they said, we want to play in the citywide, the whole area, citywide, right, regional playoffs. And so we played in the playoffs and came in second place. But it's about fellowship, it's about networking, and a lot of the guys are finding each other in that setting. And now Lance Stewart is starting a Bible study for men during our Awana program that's basically for ball players that have played ball and know each other, but it's for all men that are macho. We don't have any non-machos, right? All men that are machos, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, there's a class for you studying Wild at Heart. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Moving along quickly, then we have the core group starting down in the gym. It's another congregation. It's a church plant. Pastor Bill has hundreds of things that need to be done. He needs elders. He needs greeters. He needs ushers. He needs people to set up and people to take it down every week. He needs people for food service. He needs a worship team. He needs a power. He needs a video guy, and he needs a sound guy. There's no way you can come to this church and walk out and say there's nothing for me to do. If you don't think there's anything to do, you stop by our office, and we're going to give you a list of all the things that could be done. And the idea behind this is the Apostle Paul is saying, it's a servant mentality. It's not giving an important job. It's let me start at the bottom. Let me do what I can do for Jesus Christ. I thought it was, to me, the most admirable thing that Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, I don't like his politics. And I didn't like him as president. But I like him as a Christian. Here is the president of the United States that continued to teach his adult Sunday school class while he was president. Because he said, it's nowhere written that we should give up our ministries because we have an important job. Friend, you might have an important job and it keeps you very busy, but if you're not involved in ministry, you're missing the work for the kingdom. We are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got all those things going on downstairs in another service, and you can be involved in it. You just need to be willing to roll up your sleeves and get involved in ministry. So we invite you to that core fellowship, which is downstairs, and Bill is going to be enlisting people for us and challenging you to think about it. Now my time. It's just about us. I want you to look at a last slide with me. And I want you to want you to ask yourself, are you following Jesus? Are you serving with a servant's heart? Are you involved in any kind of self-sacrificing ministry? You see, washing feet is about self-sacrificing, about laying it down on the altar and saying, Lord, I want to give you my life. I don't want my life to be a waste for you. Help me to serve you faithfully. What service will you give him, your Lord and Master? What will you do in word or deed? How will you serve in a new capacity or a renewed capacity? How will you be a servant leader? And how will you wash feet? We close the service this morning. We're going to hear a CD singing, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And I want to challenge you to respond to this invitational hymn. There are communication cards in your pew, and you have my permission, and I'll get in trouble by board members and others. You have my permission to use that communication card, and if you don't have anything else, use the offering envelope in the back of it. And while this song is being played, give the Lord something that you will do for him. If you haven't had time to think of it, take it home and pray over that. But say to the Lord, make a commitment, Lord, I want to wash feet, and I want to look into this, and I want to volunteer to do this. While this song plays this morning, don't let the Spirit of God be grieved this morning because you have said, no, I want to be served. I don't want to serve. Ask the Lord, how can I serve you? And how can I wash the feet of my brothers in Christ? May the Lord bless you as you commit yourself to serving him faithfully.